Welcome to the home of explanations. You've got more than money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor, live this Saturday morning. John, I'm getting nothing in my headset here. I wonder if, let me try this one. 2, 3, 4, I'm getting nothing. 2, 3, 4, sorry. You know what? Maybe it's the headsets. Brief technical difficulties. Hang on one moment.
I'll whistle a happy tune while we're waiting for you.
Much better. Much better. So we found a set of headsets that do not work. Good morning. If you are a loyal listener to More Than Money, you know that this doesn't surprise you at all. Gene's struggling this morning. Goodness gracious. I blame Gunther. I always blame Gunther. Are you kidding me? Easiest target in the world. Actually, I blame the fact that I have too many pens. Look, is there anything else I can whine about this morning? It's early, so the answer, I'm guessing, is sure. Good morning. If you're a loyal listener to More Than Money, none of this surprises you. If you're just tuning in, you're going, what was with all the dead air? Exactly. Professionalism at its finest. Well, professionalism at my finest, which is way different than what a professional radio person would be doing. Clearly, this is not my day job. And for those of you that are going, okay, I'll bite. What is your day job, fella? You're talking to a financial advisor with 780 years of experience this morning and willing to share all of that. Absolutely with you for the low introductory price of absolutely no charge whatsoever. We are happy to serve you this morning, John, at the board and at the ready and taking your calls. And Gene Dickinson, your host, creator, founder of More Than Money, for the express purpose of serving your best financial interest, helping you in any way that we can with any financial question that we can. Oh, heck, financial. If you want me to straighten you out on the whole political thing, call me. I'll straighten you right out on that, too. You got a philosophy question? I just got the whole Zen Buddhism thing going. We can figure that. We'll help. We'll help in any way that we can. It's what we designed, created, founded, and implement, perform, create, present More Than Money every single week. There he is, just wandering around causing trouble. Trying to ignore us. No,
I'm sorry.
No, it's all good.
Oh, no, now I'm on. Now you're done. I'm sorry, what were you saying?
I didn't blame you for all the things that I did wrong as I started the show. I didn't blame you for that.
Have a turnover.
Well, actually, in my case, it would probably be better just to turn over a new leaf.
You said something, though, that's so true, and it really ties into the rescue show or whatever, but just to life in general. I mean, seriously, turn back the clock 20, 25 years, and we're out till 2, 3 in the morning, out with some, chasing some honey, and, and you're up till, 4 in the morning, and you're getting up at 6 or 7 to go to work on a Saturday or something, and it was like a walk in the park. Now, turn the clock back to where we are, and you have an apple turnover, and you're like, boy, you don't sound good. I had an apple turnover. It wiped me out. I'm done for the day.
I got to check my blood sugar. Do you have any extra strips? Because I got to... my glucometer, I need some spares. And
I'm bleeding to death. I stabbed myself 8 times.
I still don't know what my blood sugar is, but I'm feeling woozy.
You have a tourniquet. Forget that I have a tourniquet for my finger.
The good news is your diabetes is well under control. The bad news is you've lost
your bleeding out.
Of blood.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And but other than that.
No, but it is funny how it just changes.
And you know what? God bless us. God bless.
But how much time do we go to an event like the Snowball or something, right? And it's like, oh, it's 10:30. I mean, seriously, it's like, oh my God, how pathetic. I swore I wasn't gonna be one of those people. Says, I can remember going out doing the George Washington Lodge.
Sure.
When I became single again, going out, and you'd say, let's go out afterwards, and we'll go to the Ham Fam. And you're out till 2, 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning. And now.
For us, it was the King George Inn.
Yeah.
The King
for us, it was the George Washington Lodge.
Well, we were there on occasion, but for us, it was the King George Inn. When they would, last call. What? It can't. It's 2 o'clock. No, it can't be 2 o'clock. We're just getting started.
Yeah.
I just met her. It can't be 2 o'clock. You can't be throwing us out. I just met her. Give me a few minutes to weave the magic.
Now the magic is that you don't go to the bathroom in your bed.
That is so wrong.
Every morning I get up, I go, the old joke about the guys.
I'm not usually up until 7.
I go to the bathroom every morning. I can't go to the bathroom. I go to the bathroom every morning at 7:30. Then I get out of bed.
This is why we go to bed early now.
Yeah.
Because of jokes like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one wants us to stay up late. Hey, no, don't leave. No, we never. Hey, guys, it's getting late. Got to go. Okay, see ya.
See ya. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about the guest that wanted the 20-minute goodbye at the door, and you're thinking, leave already. And then, and don't forget, just go. Kind of like what you're feeling about me
now.
Look, it's 10. Get out of the studio.
It's 10:12. I'm 12 minutes into my sleep time.
Yeah.
Oh, it's bad. Yeah. I wasn't actually thinking about Jisco. Is he still here? Is he still here?
No, I'm not. Have a turnover.
One of these days we'll do the whole interview. Gunther left about 40 minutes ago. Jeez, how embarrassing.
Have a good show.
Thank you, sir. Always good to see you.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you. Always your pleasure.
Pleasure was all yours.
Welcome to More Than Money. If you're a loyal listener, that didn't throw you any curveball whatsoever. Our good friend Bobby Gunther Walsh stops in on fair occasion just to touch base. And Lord knows, with the way the markets are up and down these days, a little humor goes an awfully long way. You've got to keep a good sense of humor, without a doubt. We are going to talk about the markets and the roller coaster ride that is the American stock market. We're going to talk about oil. We're going to talk about Shark Tank. How much fun is that? That's one of my favorites. We'll talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk about President Obama giving away more of your money. That'll be an awful lot of fun, about community colleges. We're going to talk about oil. We're going to talk about, how about Chris Angel? Chris Angel will be in one of my favorite venues ever, my home away from home, the State Theater. He'll be there Tuesday. My apologies for promoting something you can't go see, because unless you've got tickets, you can't go see it. Sold out 2 shows. Wow. Well, why not, for goodness sakes? One of America's premier ventriloquists. What? What? Kardax? No. Magician like there's no tomorrow. I guess illusionist is the right term. What he does, like no one else you've ever seen. Gosh, I hope you have tickets. Gosh, I hope you're going to be there with us. Diane and I will be joined by two couples, very close friends of Diane's and friends of mine now. They work out together. So Tuesday I'll be very polite, because collectively they can kick the living bejeebies out of me. They're all super fit and strong. Diane can do stuff with kettlebells that scare an average human being. Scares crap out of me. Because... how many pounds is that thing you're swinging that you could catch me with really good? So we're very, very excited. Lots of fun. You know what? That is part and parcel to a life well lived. We talk about more than money, because money is just a small piece of... all right, it's not a small piece, let's be honest. It's a significant piece of peace of mind and security and feelings of optimism and being able to do the things you want to do. But then quality of life is putting those resources together in such a way that on almost an everyday basis, you can have a real big smile. If you would like to join us this morning, that would bring a smile to my face. As you may have already guessed, since Gunther has exited stage right, Gene is flying solo this morning. Our advisors out and about serving clients and being with their families and doing other kind of great things on this rather cool, and I don't mean cool like Stevie Nicks cool, I mean cool like goodness. 8 degrees at the office this morning at about 6:15. Even here in the Lehigh Valley, very, very chilly out there, so stay right where you are. If you'd like to join us, 610-720-7900, 610-720-7900, or you may send me an email, gene@askmtm.com, G-E-N-E at askmtm.com. Or you can certainly go on our website, morethanmoneyonline.com, morethanmoneyonline.com, and hit the Listen Live button in the upper right-hand corner. That will allow you to listen to our show from wherever you are. You don't need to be at home or in the car. You can be on your phone, your smartphone, your tablet, your device, your workstation. You can be anywhere that the Internet exists. So if you have friends and family that you're thinking should be tuning in and getting up to speed, you all you need to do is let them know. Give them a call. Tell them this morning we have lots going on and lots of ways to help. So if you have a question about your investments, your income taxes, your estate planning, or the business of your life, please call us at 610-720-7900 or gene@askmtm.com. I want to go immediately to an email I received this morning. It's from a young lady that lost her husband early last year, so it's been almost a year. And she's been slowly but surely getting all of her ducks in a row, doing all the things that are necessary to simplify her financial life now that her husband has passed. And one of the items that she's working on now is the selection of the executor for her will. Obviously, during his lifetime, her husband would have been the executor of her will. Her current will was drawn when her children were tiny, and they're no longer. They are mature with children of their own. So the individual that she had selected, that day she and her husband had selected many years ago, is no longer appropriate. So her question is, what kind of criterion, what kind of guidance can we give her for selecting the appropriate executor? It's a bit more challenging than you might think. In this young lady's case, she has three children, so looking to one or more of the children is certainly logical. Does that make sense? Well, let's find out for a moment. First of all, let's be very clear that being named the executor of an estate is a responsibility far more than an honor. Some folks are of the mistaken opinion that the selection of the executor is the person that you want to honor, you want to thank, you want to be make sure the world knows they are your most special person. I would tend to disagree. As a matter of fact, if you've settled an estate, if you've been an executor or an executrix, you would readily counsel someone, an honor, not so much. A lot of responsibility, a fair amount of work. Oh yes. So first of all, when you think about the person you might select. My high school English teacher is spinning in her grave. Oh my goodness. The person you might select as your executor. Think about someone who is extremely responsible, because the executor's job is to be responsible for, number one, identifying and marshaling, bringing together all the assets of the estate. Number two, identifying and satisfying all the liabilities of the estate. And finally, making sure that all the appropriate documentation is complete, whether that's a tax document, a legal document, a filing, etc. All those must be complete before the estate is considered closed. It's a fair amount of responsibility. Now, a lot of folks are of the opinion, again, incorrectly so, that the executor has grand powers, that the executor has the power to say yes or no, that in the will it says that the youngest child gets $25,000. The executor says, you know what, I don't think so, I'm not going to do that. Oh gosh, no, that's simply not the case. The executor is someone who can follow instructions because that's their job. It is to carry out the instructions left by the decedent, most normally in the will, perhaps in a trust. So, who should be your executor? Someone who's responsible, someone who's organized, someone who is able, has the time available to see this through, because being an executor is not something that happens next Tuesday. It's something that may start next Tuesday and may not end for a year. Okay? So that's the who. Now, second question. She has three children. Should she name all three of the children as co-executors? Gosh, in my opinion, no. In my opinion, first of all, the job is challenging enough, has enough moving parts, that's plenty. However, adding multiples adds, at the very least, under the best of circumstances, adding multiple executors, co-executors, two is, ugh, three is dreadful, because it's not linear. You know, one executor has a certain level of struggle. Two executors have four times as much struggle. Three executors have nine times as much struggle. It just gets worse and worse. So having multiples, in my opinion, not the best idea. If your family dynamic absolutely requires it, I understand. So go ahead and do it. Swallow hard, do it, and then be thankful that you're gone when all this is unfolding, because it could get pretty uncomfortable. But if you can possibly do it, try to work with one executor, perhaps naming another child as a contingent, and then the third as another contingent, if you feel that they need some sort of a recognition. A third issue is one that does apply here as well. Two of her children are local, Lehigh Valley. One child lives in San Diego. Would the child in San Diego be an appropriate executor? You know what? Maybe. If for all the other reasons that you choose an executor, that child is the best, then I guess San Diego doesn't disqualify that child as being executor, but it does make it more challenging. There are certain things that need to be done that are just so much easier when you can, I just forgot that. You know what? I'm just going to scoot down the street and, well, no, scooting down the street's 3,500 miles away. That gets a little tough. Hey, I got to call somebody. Hey, I got to get some help. So geography does play a part in this. Again, in my opinion, if you've got the right person, if it's ideal, you've got somebody, a single person, who's totally responsible, follows checklists very, very well, is highly motivated, perseveres, is geographically compatible. If you've got all that, you're doing really, really well. Now, one other item, just as a point of very, very important reminder. One of the free services that we offer at the MTM Financial Group, More Than Money World Headquarters, in the Holy Lands, found in the Holy Lands between Bethlehem and Nazareth, is a free will review. This young lady is a perfect example, because as she reviewed her will, found the age of the will is not particularly important. It's the components of the will. If the will was written 10 years ago, but everything has stayed fundamentally the same, then the will does not expire. There's no expiration date. It's not sour cream. But if something has changed in your life, and that goodness in life today, that happens with alarming regularity, then it's got to be reviewed and adjusted as necessary. And that's one of the services that we provide in cooperation with Rob Pinnell, Pinnell Law Offices, we offer free will reviews. You gather together your documents, your current wills and trusts, if you have them, you spend 45 minutes to an hour sitting with both Rob and Ted Hikas, an attorney on our staff, and they review your current estate scenario, your situation, your objectives, your goals, and your current documentation, if any, and they determine whether you're on the right track or not. And if we're not, if the answer is or not, then they can give you some guidance as to what you might do to best put you in solid circumstances. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com. The question about the executor, we answer, I'll bet, 5, 6, 7 times a year. John has heard that answer many, many times. John could give you that answer because he has heard it so many times. It's a very, very common question, and for good reason. For good reason. A lot of folks, keep in mind that as a financial advisor with 780 years of experience, I have seen these situations and faced these questions and faced these decisions thousands of times. You will likely do it once or twice in your lifetime. It's hard to be totally confident and totally up to speed on something that you only do once or twice in your lifetime. So please don't think, oh, goodness, he's gone over this so many times, I should know it. No. That's one of the reasons why God invented financial advisors, because now you have the opportunity to draw on that experience and have that guidance when you need it, as you need it. Really, really important. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com. Oh, thank you very much. Very, very important point. Do you need to have, gentleman writes me a quick email question, do you need to have a will in order to name an executor? You know, as far as I know, yes. Yes. The document that delineates your executor, your custodian of your children, if you have minor children, your trustee, if you're going to set up a trust, is your will. What happens if you die intestate, which is the fancy legal term for I don't have a will? Do you have an executor? It technically, no. The courts will name an administrator, in almost every case, it's named by the court. Thank you, sir. In almost every case, it is an attorney. In almost every case, they charge a fair amount of money. Those three things alone are good reasons for you to have your will drawn up. You don't really want a court deciding who's going to administer your estate. You really don't want necessarily it to be an attorney who does not know you or your family. You do not necessarily want them to be paid a fair amount of money. Most executors are serving as a, again, as a service to the decedent, and most executors do not charge. 610-720-7900. Tax season's coming up. We've got some tips for you about how to work effectively with your tax preparer. We're going to talk about those after the half-hour break. Stock markets have been extremely volatile. And if you haven't been paying attention, interestingly enough, I'm getting comments like, wow, this is really crazy. Actually, wow, this is deja vu. January 2014, the stock market was not only volatile, but ended up dropping over 6% in the first 30 days of 2014. As many of you know, the stock market, depending on the index that you you follow, was up last year. So despite the fact that we had a straight downward movement in January of 2014, we ended up with a reasonable rate of return within a well-managed portfolio. So, yep, pretty volatile, pretty up and down, no question about that. But please don't interpret that as, well, the sign of Armageddon is now easily, goodness, no. If your interpretation of today's, of most recent market volatility is this is crazy, this is unusual, this is unprecedented, then you simply don't have enough experience yet in the market, and you desperately need to be working with or aligned with a person who's got far more experience. I would think that the minimum experience you're looking for a qualified financial advisor to see you through this kind of market volatility, right around 780 years of experience. I think that would be the minimum that you would be looking for. So if you have an advisor and you're just checking with them, wondering, hey, is this the right person for me? Give them a call on Monday and ask them how many years they've been doing this. And if it's under 780, I'm thinking you need a new one. Well, actually, I guess technically it wouldn't be new. I mean, new to you. Yeah, you get my point. Is oil at the bottom of the barrel? Is the price of oil bottomed out? And if not, where is it going to go from here? That's one of the things we're going to start with after the top of the hour. We have half a dozen emails already coming through. I'll check those, see which ones we can use coming forward. And what do you think about free community college for every American student? We'll talk about those items and a whole lot more after this on More Than Money. Welcome back to the home of explanations. You've got More Than Money Radio. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor. 780 years of experience at your service this morning. Can't wait to use the term, it depends. Can't wait. 610-720-7900 lets you gives me the opportunity to say to you, it depends. Gene at AskMTM.com gives me the opportunity. You send out the question, I'll tell you it depends. And by golly, then I'll tell you what it depends on. And that's really useful. The whole, you know, the term it depends, that's kind of fun. It's kind of clever, kind of catchy, kind of memorable. That Gene, he's got 780 years of experience, and every answer is it depends. Yeah, it's more than that. Geez, I hope so. Lots of experience, no question. Tremendous team. Anybody that knows our team at the More Than Money World Headquarters knows that they do the real work. Gene does the easy work. Gene does easy, fun, easy. They do hard work, easy, hard, tough. But they do it with a smile on their face, and they do it really, really well, and we are really, really blessed. So 610-720-7900, Gene at AskMTM.com. One of our emails must be psychic. Must be, and then, you know, how weird is this? The term psychic is going to absolutely play into the question. He read an article, read something online about Kiplinger. Kiplinger is both a magazine and a, they publish various executive letters. Letters that guide tax professionals, letters that guide investment professionals, letters that guide management professionals, etc. Kiplinger has been around a very, very long time. I think the gentleman who founded it, his first name was Knight. K-N-I-G-H-T, like, you know, Knights of the Round Table kind of thing. I'm hoping it's a family name. Hope it wasn't just his mom and dad being really steamed at him and going, here's a stupid name for you. So Knight Kiplinger founded they're based in D.C., and they create all kinds of guidance. Now, guidance is interesting, and this is why I say this gentleman must have been psychic when he sent me this email, because he says, hey, I just read this article, and I have it here, and I have it highlighted, because I receive this journal and have it highlighted. And his question was, they are forecasting 2015, and he wanted to know if I agreed with their forecast. Well, let me tell you a couple of things that they have forecast, and then I will tell you what I think. Number one, Kiplinger says the economy will finally hit its stride. That's their term. Getting a solid 3% growth for the year, creating more hiring, higher wages, lower energy expenses. Now, that's an interesting forecast based on how low energy is right now. Inflation not likely to be a problem, approximately 2% for the year. Interest rates edging up by the middle of the year, looking for 3% on the 10-year treasury by year end. New home sales should rise, according to this forecast, about 25%. The stocks in the United States should have another solid year. Total return roughly 10%, but extreme volatility along the way. So those are some of the forecasts. Now, I should say Kiplinger is well-respected. Well-respected. I should also say that forecasting, predicting, as the American philosopher Yogi Berra has rightfully said, predicting is really hard, especially about the future. Okay, think through that for a second. It is really hard. As a matter of fact, I've got another article. I'm not going to go through it with you. It highlights 8 or 10 different instances of forecast predictions that were made over the last year or two about what was going to happen in the market, what was going to happen, and these are done not by just, you know, like yahoos, but folks who theoretically really know about these kinds of things. For example, I'll just give you one example. In early July of 2010. Robert Prechter, who's been around, gosh, I think he's got more experience than 780 years, forecasted that the Dow 30 would fall below 1,000 on the Dow within 5 years. I'm sorry, 6 years. So that by the year 2016, it would be below 1,000. And of course, as of Friday, it was about 17,500. So he's just missing it. He's just off. Just off. So you get the point. Forecasting, very difficult. I look at forecasting as I look at most things. I appreciate forecasts for their ability to amuse me, because it's all about me. I find most forecasts of almost no value whatsoever. Virtually no value whatsoever. Because they're interesting, they're amusing, they're fun to chat about. They give you some sense of the consensus thinking of quote unquote experts. But the reality is that if you're basing your investment decisions on trying to time the stock market, trying to time the bond market, trying to time these things based on some forecast, you will suffer dreadfully. You will, for every year that you come out at the end of the year smiling because all your forecasts kind of lined up like the handle on the Big Dipper, and it just all worked out in life, you're going to have 8 years of pain. And you know what? That's just no way to live a good, solid, financially successful life. Trading 8 years of pain so that once every 8 or 9 years you can say, look, everything aligned perfectly. Because it just doesn't. It just doesn't. I gave you one example of a so-called expert who has been so wrong, it would be hard to be wronger. Wronger? My poor English teacher. Oh, my gosh. We should hook up a turbine to her because we could generate electricity the way she's spinning. Goodness gracious. Let me give you, by the way, a forecast that turned out to be 100% wrong, and you're going to be really happy that it was. Are you ready? In March of 2009, as we were coming out of this whole bailout, remember TARP? Troubled asset recovery stuff, bailing out the major banks, bailing out. And of course, one of the reasons why President Barry Obama is in the White House, because he just burned George Bush to the ground for supporting big business, and you hate the little guy. Just a whole big steaming pile of hoo-ha that he ran on, which, to his credit, he's gotten he's never turned his back on that big steaming pile of hoo-ha. He generally every day jumps in it, throws it around. Because it doesn't get better, he's just gotten worse. But here was the projection. In March of 2009, the CBO, considered to be the kind of the nonpartisan arbiter of financial issues, projected that TARP would eventually cost the American taxpayer $356 billion, more than a third of $1 trillion to bail out big business. As of the end of 2014, not only did the bailout not cost $356 billion, but because of certain provisions within the bailout where there were actually stock ownership that transferred to the American public, to the U.S. Treasury, etc., it produced an overall profit of $15 billion. That's right. Who else is telling you this? Like, nobody. So, President Bush, ooh, bad guy, did a lot of, ooh, bad. Really? Instead of costing Americans a third of $1 trillion, it created a profit. I'm not so sure we're going to look back in 5 years on the now $18 trillion of federal debt and be able to say the same thing about Barry's policies. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. Bob writes us, should we notify a previous law firm that had written a will for our family that a new will has been written? Very interesting question. This is a very interesting question. And no surprise, the answer is, it depends. If you, as happens in many, many cases, if the law firm that you work with previously still in existence, perhaps the lawyer that you worked with still there, if they have written a document in which they participate. So perhaps the attorney is, or the law firm is named as a trustee or named as an executor, named in some way, shape, or form. It is likely a good idea to notify them, but it's certainly not required. Let's talk about the word probate for a second. Probate, based on the Latin word to prove. See, my Latin teacher's not spinning in her grave. She's smiling down from heaven. Sorry, sweetheart. It's the only one I remember. E pluribus unum. I pretty much got that one too. But other than that, it's been a long time. You know what I'm saying? So probate means to prove. So when someone passes away, the will is registered at the courthouse, and it's subject to challenge. So for example, if you've got a will that was previously constructed by ABC law firm, and you're now going to DEF law firm, and you pass away, your executor hopefully will know which is the current will. Now you say, well, if you put them side by side, you can tell the current will by the date. Yeah, I got that part. It's the putting them side by side part that may be difficult. What if you haven't notified your executor of the existence or the location of your will? And you pass away, and ABC, who did your will 10 years ago, sees in the paper that you have passed away. They know you as a, or they assume you still be a client. They produce a will. They notify the family. And no one is made aware that there is a newer version, updated set of instructions, updated will. So side by side, easy, sure. But it's what if they don't know? What if they don't know? So is it necessary? No. What is necessary is that if you've properly selected your executor, that they know that you've drawn a will, they know where it resides, what drawer in your desk, what file cabinet it resides in. And it would be very useful if they knew what law firm assisted you, because then they could, if they had questions about the document, they would know to whom to address those questions. So it's far more important that you notify your executor than it is that you notify your previous law firm. By the way, is it, and this is a kind of an aside, more my observation than anything, is it unusual to go from one law firm to another? No, goodness no. Most Americans don't review their wills often enough. Most Americans draw, I can't tell you how many folks have walked into my office and said, hey, here's my will. It was drawn in 1971. Let's see, my first child was born, but not the last three, none of the grandkids. And you go, okay, look, 1971, what's that, 43 years? That's too long. It's too long. Every 20 minutes, that's too many. But once a year, once every two or three years, absolutely. And is it likely that the lawyer that drew the will 43 years ago is still no, likely retired. So is it likely that you still have that strong relationship? No. So you change, the firms change, things change. So is it unusual that you go to a different firm? The answer is no. Ooh, that's a very interesting question. Young lady writes, thanks for all the information about estate planning and wills. You're very welcome. It's what we do. God bless you. Wants to know if, in order for a will to be legal, if it has to be notarized. Interesting. To my knowledge, the answer is no. To my knowledge, in the state of Pennsylvania, a will can be valid, so to speak. A will can be legal if you just write it out on a napkin and sign it. That can be legal, especially if you have nothing else. Way better than zero, but still pretty dreadful. But in general, the guideline that I have been told over many, many years is that it should be witnessed by two witnesses. And a lot of folks who are bound and determined to do this on their own say, well, yeah, I would do it, but I don't want a bunch of people reading my will just so that they can sign that they would. That's not what the witnesses are signing. The witnesses are not signing that they've read your will. The witnesses are signing that they witnessed you sign the document. That's what they're signing. So if you don't want them to read your will, and I don't blame you. I mean, come on. It's a private document. Write it up. Get to the part where you sign it. Fold the page so that the only thing that is visible are the signature lines. I sign it. John signs it. Gunther signs it. As witnesses, we're good. Now, is it required to be notarized? I don't think so. I absolutely could be wrong. I am proud to say I'm not an attorney. So I may be wrong. But is notarization a good idea? In my opinion, yes. If you're going to freelance this thing, if you're going to do it on a do-it-yourself kind of basis, I don't know, LegalZoom, that kind of thing, God bless you. But make sure that you make it as tight as you can possibly make it. And having two witnesses helps. Having two witnesses and a notary, as my dad used to say, if you're wearing a belt and suspenders, it's highly unlikely that your pants are going to hit the floor. So this is, it just makes sense. It just makes sense. 610-720-7900, Gene at askmtm.com. I have an email from a young lady I will answer off air. That's just a little too. But you got it. 610-720-7900. Oil, is it at the bottom? Have no clue. Next. I really don't. I have a theory. Seems to be hovering in that mid-40 range. Doesn't seem to be dropping significantly. Seems to have gotten a little bit of upward movement. Don't know exactly what that means. Between last summer at 107, 108 a barrel to 47, 48 a barrel. What a 60, 70% drop. There have been lots of times that it's seemingly, well, that seems to be about it. It won't go much further. I don't know. I don't know. Supply and demand is a goofy thing. Lots of folks really smiling. I think yesterday I paid $231 roughly. Put big smile on my face. Big smile on my face since I drive that big honking Escalade. No, I don't. the 15-passenger Escalade with, well, you got to have the bullet-resistant glass. I mean, come on. It's only a $17,000 option. You really got to have stuff like that. Oh, my gosh. You know what? I'm sure there's a reason why people drive around in those, but I got to admit, when I drive by them, I think they look stupid. But that's just me. I'm just kidding. But I got to admit, filling up again, and I think my tank's like 15, 16 gallons. Not long ago, $64, $65 to fill up. Ouch. And now, 28. Yay! Exactly, yay! This you put a smile on your face. There's an awful lot of folks walking around on a daily basis going, wow, that is nice. That is nice indeed. I agree. It's putting a lot of money back in the pockets of real Americans and a lot of folks who really need the assistance. While the lottery is an absolute tax on the folks who least can afford it, oh, my God. Oh, my word. I think somebody just needs to put me out of my misery this morning. God. Goodness. Lottery tickets are a tax on those who can least afford it. Saving tremendous amounts of money on gasoline are the folks who most benefit, those who most need it. So I'm very happy about exactly that. Let me check this one. Oh, very interesting. Very good question. All right, Gene. Actually, he calls me Smarty Pants. Which, hey, I like that. God bless you. Giving me all the respect I'm due. That's sadly the case. We talked earlier about the roller coaster ride, which is the stock market. Yes, we did. So, what do folks who are really tired of this roller coaster ride do? Well, pretty darn good question. Good for you. Very good. Well, there's a couple things. Number one, make sure that you should be invested in the stock market at all. There's tons of folks who have money in the market who should not. If you need the money, if you're going to need that for a specific reason, pay bills, buy a house, pay off a loan, whatever, within less than 3 years, it should not be in the stock market. For exactly these reasons. Last year, the market was down in January -6.5. It was down in September and October -8.5. 1 week in November, it was down 4.25. Don't even get me started about December and the early part of January this year. It's nasty, but overall, it went up a little bit. And over a three-year period, overall, in almost every three-year period, you're going to get a pretty reasonable result. How about any three-week period? No clue. Could be dreadful. How about any three-month period? Really could be terrible. So the first thing you have to do is decide whether you should be in the market at all or whether you should avoid it. And then second, you should look at various investment options that give you protection from this volatility. Now, you guys all know how I feel about salesmen. You guys all know how I feel about the salesmen that just drone on and on about the only thing you should buy is fill in the blank. The only thing you should buy is my indexed annuity because, oh, I've protected in the Wall Street casino and those bad people. The only thing you should buy is life insurance because those are bad people over there. We are good people. Come into the light. You know what? Just a big steaming pile of hoo-ha. However, the fact that they are salesmen and not very honorable doesn't change the fact that the product itself, the fixed indexed annuity, may have real value for you. The fact that somebody takes a chainsaw, and I never saw any of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie. I never saw any of them. So I don't know. I'm guessing what? He kills like college co-eds is generally, right? Okay, got it. So you take a chainsaw, you kill like 80 college co-eds. This is bad. That is a bad thing. Bad man, bad man. It doesn't make the chainsaw bad. So the fact that there's a lot of salesmen out there and there's a lot of fixed indexed annuity companies out there doing what I consider to be inappropriate things doesn't change the fact that a correctly constructed, properly done, honorably supported fixed indexed annuity from a solid financial company could be the answer to, hey, this thing makes me really nervous. I hate the ups and downs. How about getting rid of the downs? That's an opportunity. So annuities, whether they're fixed annuities, fixed rate, fixed indexed, or variable annuities that provide a guaranteed lifetime income, these are all interesting options that might give you some peace of mind during stock market volatility. What's the key word? It depends. 610-720-7900. If you're calling right now, John will get your call momentarily. But we're going to the top of the hour news, Fox Network News, all the information you need to make this a great weekend. Stick with us. We'll be back with you after this on More Than Money. I'm giving.